Greetings in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Please keep your Bibles open to Ezekiel 30, Ezekiel chapter 30, where we shall look at the topic, the heathens learn prophecy. All the nations of the world today are heathens. Heathens are not used as a derogatory term to make fun of them, but simply to make a distinction between those who worship the one living and true God and those who worship idols. In Ezekiel 30, from verse 1 to verse 19, the focus will be on the nation of Egypt. The way that God will deal with Egypt, or has dealt with Egypt, is a glimpse to all who have eyes to see and ears to hear. That this is how God will deal with the heathen nations throughout all the ages, because heathen nations with their might and economic strength and power will come and will go. Babylon at this time in the days of Ezekiel was a superpower in the Middle East. But very soon, at the tail end of the 6th century BC, they will become a superpower of the past. And the Medo-Persian Empire will take over. And they will rule according to God's timing. And then the Greeks, led by Alexander the Great, will take over another heathen nation. And after Alexander the Great died, the Grecian Empire will be split into four major parts. And then they too will disappear, and the Roman Empire will take over. And then after the Roman Empire, another empire will take over, and the next, and the next. And finally, it will culminate into the empire none other than that which is led by the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of Man himself. But in the meantime, what do we do with all these heathen nations that come and they will do their wicked deeds? They will commit all kinds of atrocities. What will happen to them? Will they just come and go and get away with many of the atrocities? This chapter in Ezekiel 30 tells us that they will not get away. They may get away from the judgment of men, but they will not get away from the final judgment, that is, of God himself. The heathens will learn prophecy, but they will learn it in a very, very different way, from a very totally different perspective. And in verse 1 of Ezekiel 30, we are given the perspective that the word of the Lord came again to Ezekiel, saying, the word again tells us that this is at least the second time. When was the first time? The first time is found in verse 18 of 29, of chapter 29, verse 17. And it came to pass in the 27th year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, the word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon, caused his army to serve a great service against Tyrus. This was the first time. In the year 560 BC, the 27th year of Ezekiel's captivity, you minus that, it will give us about 560 BC. And so this word of the Lord to Ezekiel concerning Egypt was given in the year 560 BC. And verse 2 tells us that it will be a dark day for Egypt. Son of man, prophesy and say, Thus saith the Lord God, How ye, woe worth the day. For the day is near, even the day of the Lord is near, a cloudy day, that is a dark day. It shall be the time of the heathen. A day of judgment is coming. The phrase, the day of the Lord, can be used to describe the judgment of God. And in this case, it is a judgment that is of this earth, a judgment that will come while the Egyptians will live in the earth. The day of the Lord, it will come about 16 to 18 years later from this prophecy. It will be something in the future that God has given to the Egyptians, telling them that your strength, your military might is nothing in the eyes of God. Like many heathen nations today, one of the primary goals of the government is to be strong militarily and at the same time to give them economic prosperity, economic wealth. If the country does not receive it, well, at least those who are in authority may get something out of it. These are the despot. These are those who take advantage of their position as leaders of a country, and they will get whatever monetary gains that they can for themselves, and they will hide it in their secret bank accounts in Switzerland, hoping that one day if they are kicked out of their office, they can flee the country and have a kind of a nest egg, a big egg, to secure their future. And so all governments today belonging to the heathens will have these agendas. Military might, in case they be attacked. And they will make sure that there will be economic gains. What else? Religion is another aspect that they will want to promote. Because we are all spiritual people in one way or another, even though we may be sinful. Spiritual in the sense that we need something or someone to worship. And we see that in the nation of Egypt. And in order to promote these three agendas, they make a league with the surrounding nations, thinking that these kind of allies will secure them the foundation to promote these three agendas. And so we read in verse 4, 5, and 6, the countries that Egypt made a pact with, hoping that these would be strong enough to fight off the new superpower, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. And the sword shall come upon Egypt, and great pain shall be in Ethiopia. That's one of the countries that Egypt had made a league with. When the slain shall fall in Egypt, and they shall take away her multitude, and her foundations shall be broken down. Ethiopia and Libya and Lydia and all the mingled people and Cuth and the men of the land that is in league shall fall with them by the sword. Thus saith the Lord, they also that uphold Egypt, that is these countries, shall fall, and the pride of her power shall come down from the tower of Syene, shall they fall in it by the sword, saith the Lord God. And they shall be desolate in the midst of the countries that are desolate, and the cities shall be in the midst of the cities that are wasted. Where are these cities? You'll find that these cities are located on the western side of Egypt. They know that Nebuchadnezzar will come from the east, from the north. Egypt is here. You have the Babylonian kingdom here. And you know from this orangey boundary that Egypt was taken. This is the extent of the Babylonian empire. Egypt was taken. But before Egypt was taken, God had prophesied that Egypt, no matter how Egypt hoped to defend herself, they will not succeed. Babylon is here. Cuth is here. Libya is here. Lydia is here, Ethiopia is here, hoping that these nations may help Egypt to fight against the Babylonians when they come. This is the gateway to Egypt. Over here, you have the Mediterranean Sea. Over here, you have the Red Sea. You see how well protected Egypt is? And if Egypt makes friends with the nations behind her, all they need to do is to secure this little doorway, hoping that the Babylonians will not be able to penetrate. That was the plan. But God prophesied 18 years before the capture of Egypt. It will not succeed. It will fail. Whatever alliance that heathen nations will make with other heathen nations, when they go against the mighty will of God, they will not succeed. The Tower of Sion, Sion is here, way down south. This is Egypt. Sion is here. All these cities you have read a moment ago, and we will look at them a little later on. Sion is supposed to be one of their most beautiful and cultural cities, as well as the military might. And so when God said the Tower of Sion will also be destroyed, it is what God wants us to realize, that the most powerful city of Egypt will be destroyed. And if your most powerful city is destroyed, that means all the rest of Egypt will also fall. These cities are key cities that we will look at later on in greater detail. But beware that we do not put our faith and our trust in military might. It will only have limited security. It will only give us a very false sense of hope. I remember when I was in national service, it gives us a lot of comfort and a sense of security to know that if the Viet Cong were to come down and attack us, we have the ASEAN countries to defend. We do not have to fight them alone. So much so that before they can come down to Singapore, the moment they cross over the border of Thailand, we will have to send our troops up. And all we need to do is to delay them, to give the Americans sufficient time to come to our aid. You see, this kind of pact and league and allies and intrigues are very, very common. Very, very common amongst heathen nations. The Viet Cong will have China backing them, as well as Russia perhaps. Many weak nations will make friends with superpowers. Like in those days, to fight against the Babylonians, you don't ask the Chinese to help you, they're too far away. You ask the neighboring nations to help you. But God made it a point to prophesy in advance to Egypt that all these leagues and political intrigues that you may plan and plot and maneuver to your aid will fizzle out to nothing. And so as people of God, we have to learn this precious lesson. Our security is not in our military might. Our SAF is supposed to be small in numbers, but high as far as quality is concerned. Now, pilots are trained very well to fly these F-16 fighter jet planes, and they learn it pretty well. That's what we are told. Let not our security rest in military might, but in God Himself. Singapore is a small country, but because of the way that God has prospered this country with good leaders, God has prospered us with good location, and God has prospered us with the people that are prepared to work hard. We are given peace and prosperity. But let not these be the focus of our attention. Let these not become pitfalls. in our spiritual walk with God. We must learn this lesson from the way that God will deal and has dealt with Egypt. What God had prophesied right here and now did come to pass in the year 544 to 542 BC, exactly as God has described it. All these major cities, with their military garrisons and powers, were reduced to nothing. And from verse 9 onwards, all the way to verse 18, God will give the detail of how he will destroy Egypt. Like I mentioned earlier, the three foundations of any nation would be their military foundation, their economic foundation, as well as their religious foundation. For the people at the time were very, very religious. They worshipped many, many gods, thinking that these gods will give them strength and power. In verse 9, you see how God will destroy them. In that day shall messengers go forth from me in ships to make the callous Ethiopians afraid. The great pain shall come upon them as in the day of Egypt, for lo, it cometh. Ethiopia all the way down south will help Egypt nothing. Thus said the Lord God, I will also make a multitude of Egypt to cease by the hand of Nebuchadrezzar, king of Babylon. Another way to describe Nebuchadnezzar. They will be destroyed. No matter how they will stop it, they will not be able to stop Nebuchadnezzar from coming all the way down to enter the gateway of Egypt and destroy all the major cities and take over it. God will use stronger heathen nations to destroy other nations. He and his people with him, the terrible of the nations, shall be brought to destroy the land, and they shall draw their swords against Egypt and fill the land with the slain. The slaughter will be intense and immense. Verse 12, if that is not enough, God said, I will make the rivers dry. The great river now will be dry. How God will do it, we are not told, but it will be dry. And sell the land into the hand of the wicked. Who is the owner of the land of Egypt? Were the Egyptians the owner? This word tells us they are not the owner. God will sell it to them, to the hand of the wicked, to the Babylonians. God will give it to them. God is the owner. And I will make the land waste and all that is therein by the hand of strangers. I, the Lord, have spoken it. Thus saith the Lord God, I will also destroy the idols, and I will cause the images to cease out of Noph. Noph is over there, west of the river now. Noph, the key city of Egypt. Another name for it is Memphis. Present-day name is Grand Cairo. They worship the creator god called Thoth, patron of arts and crafts, and this god is depicted as a man wearing a straight beard, having a smooth head that is bald-headed. And he will hold a scepter in his hand, depicting dominion, and they worship this god in Noph, as the one who has created all mankind and everything that is in the world. And God will destroy it. And there shall be no more a prince of the land of Egypt, and I will put a fear in the land of Egypt, and I will make Patros, Patros is not a city but a province, desolate, and I will set fire in Zoan, a major city, home of the pharaohs and the counselors, his court and his government officials and envoys. The main city where they do and conduct all their business dealings, like Washington, D.C. And will execute judgment in No, verse 14. No, the new name is Thebes. The western bank is the place where they bury the pharaohs, the queens, the officials, and many chapels for worship. A place of superstition. The burial ground of kings and queens are found in No. And I will pour my fury upon Sin, verse 15. Sin, near Tahpanhes, one of the fortified cities to protect the gateway into Egypt from the north and the east. Sin, the strength of Egypt to secure the entrance of Egypt next to the desert of Sin, the key to Egypt, always well fortified and strongly garrisoned. And I will cut off the multitude of No, and I will set fire in Egypt. Sin shall have great pain, and No shall be rent asunder, and Nov shall have distresses daily. The young men of Aven, another name is On, worship center of the sun god, as well as the bull god. Many stately temples have been built in that city to worship these gods. And Pibaseth, they worship the goddess Bastet, a woman with the head of a cat or a lioness, shall fall by the sword, and these cities shall go into captivity. At Tahpanhes also the day shall be darkened. Tahpanhes, a fortified city also, together with Sin, they are the two guardian cities to protect Egypt. They too are destroyed. And I shall break there the yokes of Egypt, and the pomp of her strength shall cease in her. As for her, a cloud shall cover her, and her daughters shall go into captivity. Military might destroyed by the Babylonians. Economic might destroyed by the drought that God will send, because they depended entirely upon the river Nile for the fertility of all their business dealings. If you were asked this question, which do you prefer not to have in your homes, electricity or water? Many, if not all of us, would prefer not to have electricity. We would rather choose water. Right? We can make do without electricity. No watching of television, no problem. We can have candlelight, but there is no substitute for water. That's it. And so without water, their crops would fall, would fail. And their economy will collapse immediately, especially for the Egyptians. And then with regards to the gods that they prayed to, God said, I will destroy every one of them. You think that these are the gods that back you up, that give you all your successes in the past? They are nothing in my sight. And what are the lessons we can learn? Do you notice how God described himself in his prophecy concerning the destruction of Egypt? Do you notice that he deliberately chose to use the name Yahweh, Jehovah, with capital L, capital O, capital R, and capital D? In other words, God wanted the Israelites, who were still in captivity in Jerusalem. By this time, Jerusalem was really destroyed. Some Jews were still in Babylon. God wanted them to know that this God that you worship, that you believe in, he is not just the God of Israel. He is the God who made the heavens and the earth. And all these nations who lived in God's heaven and God's earth, not God's heaven, God's earth only, they won't be in heaven, under God's heaven, in God's earth, they are answerable to him. You see, it is very common in those days for the Jews to think that they have a God who is called Jehovah, that is the God of the Jews. And for the Ammonites, the Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Assyrians, the Philistines, all of them to have their own gods. But God wanted them to know that you worship the one living and true God, and there is no other beside me. None other. And God wanted us today to understand that as well. The God that you call Heavenly Father, the God who came down and given to us the Word of God, the God who sent His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to die for our sins. He is the God who is in control of this world that we are living in. This political maneuvering by the head of state are merely pawns doing, even though unknowingly, the will of God. Hitler was used by God. Nebuchadnezzar was used by God. Most of them were used by God. All these were used by God in one way or another according to His sovereign will and sovereign plan. All of them who did evil will be judged by God. And that's why the Bible tells us even the wrath of man will praise God. There is no way puny man can outwit, outmaneuver the Almighty Sovereign God. And so what is there to fear? Let our security be in our Heavenly Father. He is our God. Some have said, how can there be a God when we see famine, when we see the world in chaos, when we see wars and more wars erupting? The question is, how can there be a God? The question is, how can God tolerate sinful men all these millenniums? How could God not destroy us much earlier, but for His grace and His mercy? These wars and these drought and famine that we see in many parts of the world are brought about not because there is no God, but because there is sin in our lives. It is sin that brought about chaos. God created the world perfect for man to live in. But man sinned, and so thorns and thistles came about. We believe in a God that is sovereign and mighty, and He will show forth His mighty power. One day, the Bible calls it the day of the Lord. This day of the Lord described the temporal judgment upon Egypt by the Babylonians. But one day the day of the Lord will come, and it will be a day of great rejoicing for the children of God, where they will see for themselves. It will not be by faith anymore, but by sight. But in the meantime, we must live by faith. But there will come a day where we will see with our own eyes how powerful our sovereign God, our Heavenly Father, truly is. And He will amaze us. But for those who are on the other side, the day of the Lord will be a day of calamity and great judgment. Verse 19, God said, I will execute judgments in Egypt. And God said, one day I will execute judgments in the world. All the heathen nations will be judged by Him. For what purpose? The same purpose, that they shall know that I am Jehovah. Not that I am God. Yes, He is God, but they will know that I am Jehovah. That the God that the Jews worship, that the Christians worship. Not the Jews today, but the Jews in the days of Ezekiel. But the Christians today worship. You worship the one living and true God. Do not be discouraged. Your life may appear a mess because of circumstances that may come your way. Perhaps some is because of our own doing. Seek God's help. He is almighty. He is able to help. If it is because of sin, come to Him in repentance. Right here and now, swallow your pride. Swallow your pride. If it is because of certain circumstances that are beyond your control, it is not your fault, not your doing. Know that your sovereign God, your Heavenly Father, is in control. And if one day the economy of Singapore collapses, one day it can. You don't think that it is impossible. We have been riding high, and we are riding higher and higher. Today's front page, the WTO, a big success. We'll see. If the economy collapses, and it is very easy, the economies of the world are all linked. One chain snap, the whole thing will fall apart. Please remember that our God is in control. He is sovereign. You, by the grace and mercy of God, if you are truly born again, you have believed in the one living and true God, you have on your side, watching over every detail of your life, the Almighty, the one who created this whole world that we are living in, the whole universe. He is your heavenly Father. Take heart. The Bible says, vengeance is the Lord's. And one day, the heathen nations, all of them, without exception, including Singapore, and Singapore is the heathen nations, see the many temples and idols that are in this country. It is the heathen nations.